You were very patient with me last Sunday evening. A 30-minute message, 40-minute message turned into an hour. So tonight my plan is not to do that. Instead of 9 pages, I have 5. So. You are at a house of some friends. They have a 2-year-old. And this 2-year-old is just running wild into that home. Toys are strewn everywhere. Parents are a little embarrassed because this child is screaming, yelling, carrying on. And it's time for bed, so they say, "Junior, it's time for bed. Pick up your toys." And Junior says, "Yes, Daddy." You know that that's a bunch of hogwash. The child says, "What? No. No way." And so we try it again. "Now, Junior, let's pick up your toys." "No." Sits down, crosses the arms, and has that look. So one more time, "Junior, pick up your toys." "No." So the answer from this dear parent is, it's a 2-year-old. You know how impossible 2-year-olds are. They're going to outgrow it sometime. Well, let me tell you that that child will not grow out of it unless something happens. And that something happens is what we are doing tonight, and that is talking about a child's chastening. We have been looking this month at the grace and duty of biblical parenting. And it's been our focus for the month of January, only we didn't have the entire month of January. And so we have a few messages that we didn't get in, but still. We've had 2 goals in this series. It was, first of all, teaching children to obey. And then that obeying needed to be without complaint, without challenge, without delay, and without excuse. And my wife reminded me last week that I said that was C-C-E-F-G. Did I say G? No, just C-C-E-F. That's what I said. C-C-E-F. I can't imagine where that came from. But you were kind, didn't straighten me out. And then we had the other side of that, and that was the nurturing involved in parenting. So tonight, I would like to take a practical walk through discipline. And the practical walk is going to do with spanking. I don't want anybody to leave. Lock the doors. Nobody leaves, okay? The rod is what is used on many translations as far as spanking. And it's why. What is the rod for? In Proverbs, we have many Proverbs. There we go, my dear brother. Let's go down. There are many Proverbs that have to do with spanking. And the first thing that we look at is the fact it's a parental command. I have these Proverbs in the New Living Translation. And first one is, discipline your child while there's hope. Second, don't fail to discipline your children. And number 3, discipline your children. It's a command. It's a command to parents. And these verses you will find in Proverbs as in the context of a child and parent relationship. And the use of the rod, the use of spanking is for the parents to obey as well as the children to obey. Next, it's the act of faith. It's an act of faith for parents. Discipline your children while there's still hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. Physical punishment cleanses away evil. Such discipline purifies the heart. And, it sounds awful. Culture says that that's awful for us to be beating our children. Now, I don't see that there, but if I don't do something, I'm going to ruin their lives potentially. And physical punishment cleanses away that evil of that 2-year-old that's running wild and disobeying. So it's an act of faith for parents, a parental command, and it's a rescue mission. There's probably nothing more important than a rescue of these children. Don't fail to discipline your children. They won't die if you spank them. Physical discipline may well save them from death. And that word death, Sheol, it may save them from perishing in hell. The next one, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. So here's the 2-year-old running wild. Do the parents love that child? And it says no. They don't love him. They hate him. Problem is that those parents love themselves more than they love that child. Next one, discipline your child while there's hope. Otherwise, you'll ruin their lives. Next, the discipline to discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Discipline your child and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. So it's a rescue mission. We are rescuing this child from their foolishness, from their folly. And the only way we can do that is through spanking. Parents love themselves too much. They don't use the rod because they don't love their children. It is God's instrument to potentially save your child from hell, and the rod is a tool that brings wisdom to that foolish child. It also makes the child ready for the gospel. There's no better time when a child is soft from the spanking and knowing that he cannot do things without the grace of God as I give them the gospel. Parents who don't discipline their children wonder why their world is nothing but chaos. Scripture just said that disciplining brings peace and heart gladness. So when the rod is not used, we parents are disobeying God and teaching our child that he is in charge of his life, he is in charge of the world, and we have a job. We are to rescue that child. So, how do we spank? Well, first of all, we get mad. We get on the last straw, our last nerve. We pick that child up. We take them any place I can. I get my belt off and I wail that kid. Right? Anybody been done that way at home? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to know. There you go, brother. You've had it. I'm sure you're not the only one. Number one. Well, first of all, if you don't discipline your children by spanking, Proverbs 19:13 says that if you don't discipline your child, it ruins a father. Father has gathered all these things. Don't discipline them. And all of a sudden, things go to this undisciplined child, and they're going to be gone. A side thought, I had a client, she just passed away. Her husband passed away. He left his son $25,000. He was 16 and in high school. The $25,000 lasted 6 weeks. Undisciplined child. All right, how to spank? First of all, take your child to a private place. This isn't a spectator sport. And in fact, it's something that would bring shame and embarrassment to a child if it was done in front of the rest of the family or anyone else. It needs to be somewhere where you can talk to your child in a calm voice, in control, and you take them there to talk and to spank them without being interrupted or having their dignity robbed. By doing this in private, you respect your child. You honor them. Number two, tell your child what they have specifically done or failed to do. Physical discipline must be tied to specific, easily demonstrated disobedience. As your child grows in understanding, discipline can be done for more general and attitudinal issues. This is as they get older. But this is not done with preschool children. That is, going after a general attitudinal issue. We are speaking, we did use this time for basically birth to age 5. Children who haven't gone to school yet. When they go to school, there's a whole different dynamic that needs to be dealt with. So right now, we're having them to obey, and we're having the consequences explained, and we're teaching. So as your child is there, and they're basically being told what they did or didn't do, that was disobedience, then I am going to spank them, and I am going to have a discussion, number three, that includes having that child acknowledge what I just said, that they have done wrong. This is probably where the most time is spent in that spanking situation, is talking to that child and getting them to acknowledge what they had done. Now, why won't a child acknowledge what they have done when they know they're going to get a spanking? They're not going to acknowledge because they don't want the spanking. They will lie. They will carry on. And this is just making the spanking worse as far as I'm concerned. However, what do I know? The child knows that the spanking's coming. He'll probably lie. But once he's acknowledged what he's done, he knows why he is being spanked. He's not being spanked out of anger. He's not being spanked because he's on my last nerve. He's being spanked because he knows how he has not obeyed. It's critical. You need to remind that child that you are not spanking them because you're frustrated, angry, or just can't take it anymore. And the spanking is to teach him that he must obey you. You tell him that you are obeying God when you spank, and you are concerned for his good. Tell him this is what God says needs to be done in order to help you obey. But you may not hit your child or for any other circumstance discipline him other than for biblically sanctioned disobedience and the discipline that goes with that. Number five, tell him how many swats he's going to receive. Now, this is a guessing game initially, but part of what we need to do is learn our children. If you're going to be talking about how many swats, it's going to keep you in control. Not being in control can make it child abuse if it is done in anger, if it's done in such a way that it is more than has been necessary, and that is just child abuse. So I am going to be gauging how many swats it's going to take. There are some kids you can look at and just have the eye, and they are bawling their eyeballs out. There are some that I think they have leather for a bottom. And you can spank, and they will turn around and say, "That didn't hurt." That's never happened to any of you, but I think it's happened to some of you. So this, getting to know your child and their weaknesses, their strengths, their characteristics, and it's going to be coming to this point where you know that this many swats is hopefully going to be doing the job. It's going to take a little practice. It's going to take knowing your children, and it's important that it doesn't allow you to get carried away. The child can cry and manipulate. Would you agree? There is this busting out of crying. The child is falling on the floor. They're so concerned. They're so repentant. And all they're doing is knowing that if I can do that, I get less swats. And it's a great life. The manipulation starts young. You need to be careful of that kind of child who's manipulating. Number six. Here's a critical one. First of all, what do you use to spank with? Hand? Ruler? Paddle? Belt? And there's kind of a disagreement among folks who say, what do you use to spank? I think I use the hand more than anything. And there are those who say that the hand spreads it out too far. And it doesn't hurt as bad when it's spread out with flat fingers. I think my children were okay with me using my hand. Others say that that ruler is only this wide, and man, that will really sting when it's so concentrated. The paddle, Easter, you get these kids this paddle with this ball on this thing, okay? And you hope that they just go as fast as they can. The ball fouls off, and you have them write their name on the paddle. Go get the paddle, and there's their name. I've never put little X's on there to see how many times. That would identify what kind of kid it was, right? Remove the diaper or pants and underwear so the spanking is felt. Now, this enables you to see your swats, how physically they are being received on the bottom. But the clothing is removed at the very last moment. And then it's put back as soon as the spanking is over. Now, we're going to have some input for some parents. They may do things differently, and that's great. But a good rule of thumb concerning removing clothing is if you are the one who takes care of your child's personal hygiene, like changing diapers, giving them baths, then it will not shame your child for you to see their bottom. But if he's the one who takes care of his hygiene, then you leave underwear on. You don't want to embarrass him or shame him by his nakedness. You want to make sure the spanking is felt and effective. And the best thing to do is to put the child over your lap rather than over the bed or the chair. I heard of a child who was the parents put the child over the rail of the bed so that it was easier for them to bend over. But they were spanking hard enough that the little girl said her stomach hurt more than her bottom. Putting them on your lap helps them to know that there's this physical relationship with that child and with you. And you want to make the spanking a source of restoration. Remember we talked about being a rescue mission that needs to be there. Spanking is not retribution. When the spanking is done, then there should be complete restoration between you and your child. If he's not restored, if he's angry at you, if he refuses to accept your affection, then something's wrong. You need to check your own heart and the heart of that child. Have you been rough with them? Have you sinned against them? How have you disciplined them? Have you disciplined them in anger? If you have, you need to confess your sin, ask for forgiveness and restoration. But check his anger as well. Is he angry and is rejecting your discipline? Is he mad at you? Is he trying to punish you for what you've done? And if any of these things are there, the child isn't ready yet. There's still the rebellion in the heart. So, Ted Tripp says in his book that whenever that happened to his kids, they would turn around, they were angry, they were still bitter, they were still rebellious. He would tell them, you know what? You have not gotten to the place that you're sweet enough. So we need to go back, have another spanking so that you're sweet enough. So the spanking is over. When that child the spanking has made them in such a way that they are ready to be restored. And the Russ took us through Hebrews 12 last week. Discipline's not pleasant but painful and produces righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. So if your discipline has not produced peace and righteousness, then it's not finished. You're going to get another spanking, and that spanking will happen, and the child, until the child knows that something, if the child knows that something isn't right, which they do. So you're going to go through the spanking process again. The talking will probably be much less, but you're going to spank for not submitting to you and ultimately for not submitting to God. And restoration is critical in our spanking. There shouldn't be anything between the two of you. You are starting off fresh. You're starting off with a clean slate once the spanking has taken place and you are restored with that child. And last, pray for your child. Encourage your child that Christ was given because people sin. And through Christ, there's forgiveness of sins. Explain to them Christ can be known and He can give the ability to obey in the future. Tell them that you have times when you have disobeyed and that there is consequences for disobedience. This is the best and most receptive time to present Christ to your child. They have been confronted with their need of Christ's grace and power, and they're now in a position to listen. Steps 1 through 8. If you're not using God's way of disciplining your child, you will be training your child, but it will be with unbiblical methods. The child will be trained. Will it be biblical or unbiblical? Remember, your responsibility is to be shepherding your child's heart. If that is not your goal, then you are probably trying to modify their behavior with bribes, emotional appeals, or punishment, and your child's heart is never addressed, and the gospel cannot be presented. Bribes are rewards for your child doing what you think is right. Now, if you, in fact, will pick up your clothes for 5 days, we're going to go get ice cream. Bribe. The rewards for what you write. Emotional appeals are going to play on the emotions of the child. An emotion such as fear. I talked to you last week about going to leave your child at the store. You're going to leave them someplace else. Fear of being left. If you don't stop yelling, I'm walking away, and you're just going to have to stay at this store till something happens. Punishment is something that carries on an offense for a long time. Many folks ground their children. You are grounded for a month. Don't even think about getting out of jail. There's no going past go and getting a free pass to go out of jail. Grounding, first of all, doesn't work. It makes the child learn how to get around things. Somebody comes over, the child's grounded. Here's another kid. They go, they play. I mean, what is accomplished? All you have done is you have kept an unreconciled situation, and then nothing is accomplished once the grounding is over. Bob talked this morning about Matthew 5, that two believers, must be reconciled or God doesn't want our worship. For me to be unreconciled with my child when I am trying to give them the gospel and rescue them is not going to work. So let's look at some questions about spanking. When do you spank? Remember, spanking at this age is for disobedience or defiance, which is failing to obey or to honor you. And you must be careful to know what disobedience is. Disobedience and spanking are not for something that is an accident. Your child is sitting in the high chair, whips around, and there goes the bowl of cereal. There goes the glass of milk. That's an accident. You don't beat your child for having an accident. They can be instructed that they should not be throwing anything over the side. And you can watch them, and they give you the look, and they do this, and it's gone. Is that disobedience? Is that a spanking thing? Yes. Your toddler finds some crayons, and the wall has become their canvas. Now, if I haven't informed them that the canvas is not the wall, then this is not a spanking opportunity yet. If I've told them, though, we don't do crayons on the wall, and we try to clean it up, and the child again goes and has the canvas of the crayons on the wall or someplace else, they are disobedient. They are disobeying now. They've been informed, they've been instructed, and they are no longer being given the grace. They are now being disobedient. How about the little kid that's crawling, and they are going to the wall for the socket? And you don't spank them right now. You're going to inform them, no, this is not what we do. You decide to go around the corner, and you watch, and this little child crawls up, looks, and starts going forward. Is that disobedience? Yes. That's rebellion. Your child is fighting you on a diaper change. What are you going to do? Disobedience is when your child can look you in the eye and you can see the fire in the eye. Right, parents? You can see it. You can see the rebellion that's there. Disobedience is something that you are going to be becoming very familiar with, and you are going to be dealing with it when that child does not respond the first time without complaint, challenge, delay, or excuse. So when do you spank? When there's been disobedience. Not an act, not an accident, and not something they haven't been informed about, when there is disobedience. That's when. How about what age do you begin spanking your child? Putting it simply, whenever your child is old enough to resist your directives, he's old enough to spank. Your child is rebelling against your authority. And many times, parents are tempted to wait until the child can speak before they spank them. The longer you put off responding to rebellion, the worse the disobedience becomes, and the harder it is for him to understand that he's under authority to honor and obey you. Sometimes it seems so innocent, this child, as they struggle against a diaper change, they stiffen up and they won't sit on your lap. They won't do anything but want to get down, and they scream and yell and carry on. Is this rebellion? Even if they are 9 or 10 months old, is this rebellion when they won't lay still for a diaper change? Shake your heads, yes. It's time to spank. We don't know how much a child can understand. Even though they can't talk, we still need to talk to them, and we need to spank them. Because rebellion is wrong, they need to know the consequences for rebellion, and it's something we have to deal with now. When's your child too old to spank? Children are different. There's so many variables. If you have more than one child at home, you know that there aren't two alike. You know that they are different in their characters, they're different in their strengths, in their weaknesses, in the way that they respond to life around them. So for anybody to give an age is when they're too old to spank is just arbitrary. Spanking works best, though, with young children. If you sense that your children do not respond to spanking, then you need to evaluate. I believe it's inappropriate to spank a child in junior high or senior high, because as the child matures, there are other methods of discipline to use, and I do not want to anger a child because of him knowing or her knowing that it is this commanding we talked about and this counseling that we're going down too far on the commanding. What if you're in public and this 2-year-old is screaming and yelling, grabbing things off the shelf, throwing themselves in the floor, kicking, hitting? What if you're in public? Our culture is determined that spanking is child abuse, and granted, Christians can be guilty of child abuse. When we discipline in anger, when we punish instead of chasten, when they give discipline that is excessive to abusing our children as parents, they and we are guilty before God of disobedience and child abuse. You know that there are many states now who have laws passed that it is a misdemeanor to spank a child. So when you are in public, you're not going to spank your child. And in fact, I've learned from others that the word spanking should be replaced with consequences. There are consequences. And the child doesn't go to kindergarten and talk about being spanked. They know that there are consequences. Last one. I'd rather use timeouts. I mean, what's wrong with that? First of all, God has commanded you to spank. Using timeouts instead of saying that God doesn't know best, that's what timeouts are saying, God doesn't know best. But secondly, using timeouts doesn't give an opportunity for the gospel in your child's life. The foolishness and rebellion is still in that heart of that child. You haven't driven the rebellion out of that child's heart. And thirdly, your excuse shows that you are not obeying God. You're concerned more about your time than taking the time to be involved in your child's life. I guarantee you that it will be at the most inopportune time when you need to be dealing with your children. I don't have time. Why are they doing it now? It's time for supper. We're ready to go to church. Why? Inopportune. Guarantee it. Well, I've been giving you scriptural principles for spanking your child, but there are some that would disagree with that teaching, and maybe even some sitting here. But there are others, though, who are saying, look, I understand what you're saying to me, but what do you do? How do you do it? All the things that would go through a parent's mind. We had children, 70s and 80s. We didn't have the resources that you guys have now. All we had was Jim Dobson and Dr. Spock. That's all we had. And as you look back, those were the poorest excuses for disciplining children that there could have been. Let me wrap up the series, because I can't add any more to this. I just want to summarize what we've done the last 3 weeks. And just to wrap up the series, if you'll allow me to do that. First sermon we had, Russ gave us an overview of Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. It was called The Child's Nurture. He taught us about children needing to obey parents because it's right and it's best. And parents are to rear their children in the discipline and nurture of the Lord so that we don't provoke those children to anger or exasperate them. If you'll remember that first sermon. Second one, it was called The Child's Admonition. I listed some goals that parents pursue and what God's goal was for parenting. And even though authority has been shaped by what we believe, the authority for parents is to follow Ephesians 6, and his authority is delegated to us. His world is organized by authority in all life, and the goal for rearing your children is to obey their parents without complaint, challenge, delay, excuse, and to learn what consequences are. Sermon number 3, Your Child's Depravity and Folly. Russ covered children's natural state. They are born sinners from the time of conception. Children are also born foolish. All children commit sin. All children commit folly. But there was only one perfect child, and that was Christ. He grew physically, he grew in wisdom, and he grew in his relationships, and he was submissive to his parents. We're to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord in view of the Lord's own discipline and his instruction of us. Sermon 4, last Sunday evening, your pattern of biblical chastening. Russ went through Hebrews 4 for us, or Hebrews 12, 1 through 11. And how this passage was to be shaping how we as parents are to be chastening our children. Chastening is God's way in our relationships with him as a family, and chastening is God's way of transforming and maturing us, his children. Chastening is God's way for parents to be dealing with their children. Chastening involves both circumstances and people, and it's good for our children to experience hardships. Hardships and discipline reveal, not conceal, relationships. And chastening our children requires our submission to God, their submission to God. And the chastening of our children is good. It's for their good. And then this evening, your child's chastening. I've tried to put the rubber on the road by being a little more practical. Last week, I challenged you to count the cost for parenting. Rearing your children according to God's instruction manual will require time. You heard that tonight. Time, speaking, patient, in the most inopportune times, when I am so tired, when it's not working, just to continue. The cost, rearing children according to God's instruction manual, is going to require time. It's going to require your reading, your studying good books on parenting. It's going to require getting counsel from others. It's going to require being familiar with those teachings of Scripture that apply to your children's character, to their heart, to their strengths, to their weaknesses. It requires being humble before God. It requires asking Him for enabling grace and wisdom to parent well. And it requires recognizing the sin in our own hearts that needs to be humbly confessed and returning using God's grace. It's been a good series for me. We're going to do another one sometime in the future on older children, whenever that is, for unless God comes. So, the summary. May God grant us as a family here at the chapel, may He grant us the desire to parent well for His glory, for our good, and for the good of our children. May the world see Christians obeying God and the rewards for us, and by God's grace and sovereign will, our children too. Let me pray. Father, it has been good to once again review what is required. You know, you've designed your world. You have given us what we need. Help us. Help us to be diligent. Help us to give up those things that we desire, because our ministry at this point in child rearing is all about obeying you. May we be constantly on our knees. May we be constantly be in the Word. May we be constantly educating ourselves about rearing our children in a way that pleases you and in a way that is for the good of our children. Thank you for these wonderful folks that are here at the chapel. Thank you for how you've worked in all of our lives. And may you continue to work for your glory, because it's in the name of Christ that we can ask all of this. Amen.
We're going to go ahead and dismiss and go in God's grace. Just ask parents to quickly pick up your children at